This is episode 14 of season 5 of the Bad Apples. Hi everyone, my name is Klaatu. This is my show about Linux and geeky topics and computers and technology and all that other good stuff. This is the Bad Apples GNU Linux Aug and Speaks cast. So we do release in Aug and Speaks only, so don't look for other formats, please, because they don't exist. And let's see, in this episode we're going to talk about the SAMHSA Fuse. We're going to talk about Rockbox. Oh, but I've now given away the topic for the SAMHSA Fuse. So let's get started. Now I'm sitting out near a street, probably hear traffic, but I'm sort of at a park. I'm out sitting down, enjoying the day. Well, let's start out with the SAMHSA Fuse, and while this is going to result in putting Rockbox onto the SAMHSA Fuse, I wanted to give it a little bit of a preface before I get into just the here's the how to do it thing. So first of all, I had been hearing about the SAMHSA Fuse for a while. You know, I'm not the sort of person to go out and buy a gadget or to track gadgets and see what's coming out next and get all excited about it. That's just not me. I did at one point a long time ago. You know, I'd be the guy clicking on Engadget, you know, looking at all the new stuff, seeing when the new version of something was going to come out with great interest, see what the new features are, all that stuff. And while you almost have to do that a little bit in order to be, I guess, a geek or up on technology and stuff, I think you pick up the pattern pretty quickly. You kind of know after maybe 6 months of doing this that a new product is going to come out. It's going to be the hot new thing, 10 new hotness, and then it's going to get great reviews, and everyone's going to have one, and then it's going to, you know, it's perfect, right? So, and then the manufacturer is going to come out with the next model of the same thing, and it's going to have even more features, and suddenly everyone starts talking about their current gadget and how really it's quite lacking, and it's got all these problems. You know, like 2 months ago, it was still the perfect gadget, right? But now that the new version's out, there's all these problems with their old one, and so they have to go get the new one. And then the cycle repeats. And there's no end to this at all. It simply continues to do that year after year. After picking up on that pattern, I kind of lost interest. So I really prefer, just for a lot of different reasons, to get a gadget that's going to work for a very long time. You know, there's a lot of different reasons to do this. There's economical reason, just simply it gets expensive to keep buying new gadgets. It also the sort of the eco-friendly reason. I mean, the more that we produce a lot of junk in this current system right now, and we just continue to do that, and we think that it's okay, you know. So we keep having new iPods every year, and new cell phones every twice a year, really. You know, you just keep amassing all these things, and yeah, you can redistribute them and give them away all you want, but I think a lot of people just kind of ditch them or throw them in a drawer and forget about them. But at the same time, you've got, I mean, those have to end up going somewhere, and a lot of this the electronic stuff that we are producing, they actually have a lot of various chemicals in them, you know, batteries and chips with that were made with you know, chemical processes that produce a lot of interesting waste materials that we're not really sure what to do with yet. So or we do something with them, but it's probably not appropriate. So it's kind of a good thing to actually get a device that you believe is going to last for a very long time. And this is what I try to do. And so for many, many years, I've had the iPod 4th generation that I rescued from a trash can, put a new hard drive in it, and put first iPod Linux onto it, which I think was possibly, well, it was in one of my first Linux-driven episodes of The Bad Apples, actually. So I don't think it was episode 0, but it was pretty close. So then I put Rockbox on it, and I've been happy with it ever since, and I'm still quite happy with it. But Skirlet, my friend Skirlet, who you've possibly heard either on this show or on Fedora Reloaded or Hacker Public Radio, her iPod video that she had was falling apart, like literally. I saw it the other couple of weeks ago in person, and I mean the thing was held together by electrical tape and duct tape and all this other stuff, and she couldn't even listen to music without like taping the headphones at a certain angle, you know, to get stereo sound. It was pretty pitiful. So I thought to myself, this is the perfect reason to buy a SAMHSA Fuse, because that way I can experience the SAMHSA Fuse vicariously through Scarlett, who clearly needs a new media player. So I found a pretty good deal on a fuse on buy.com and bought it and sent it to Scarlett. And it was like an 8 gigs, nowhere near her 80 gig iPod capacity. But it does video, it does music and all that other good stuff. So I figured it was a good step in the right direction. I mean, and certainly it was smaller, solid state, and it wouldn't require electrical tape holding her headphones, the headphone plug in at a certain angle in order for her to get stereo sound. So I sent her the Sansa Fuse, and I kept bugging her to let me know how it was. And she had it for like maybe a week, and she started giving me reports, and they weren't the rave reviews that I'd anticipated, because before even considering the Sansa Fuse, I'd done a lot of research, and I'd gotten people who I trust, you know, to give me like reviews of their fuses, and they gave me nothing but good reports. I mean, from what I could tell, this was the perfect device, and I couldn't understand why it hadn't replaced the iPod entirely from these rave reviews. So I really expected Scarlett to just email me back and tell me how perfect this device was, and she didn't quite do that. And in fact, she was having some random issues with it, things like it crashing. You know, it wouldn't power back on after it had been charged. It would crash after she put new music on the device. Just random things like that. And this surprised me and disappointed me a little bit. And I kind of attributed it to either a fluke or just to her. You know, she just didn't understand something. She was doing something wrong. So fast forward to the Ohio Linux Fest planning meeting that I went to about a month ago now, probably, maybe more. But we were up in Ohio, and a guy there was telling us about this place, Micro Center, which I think I've already talked about in a previous episode, so I'm not going to go too far into it. But I found there a Sansa Fuse 2 gig version, so it was cheap enough to just grab. And so I figured, well, I kind of wanted one anyway. Plus, now I've got a perfect excuse to get myself one, because Scarlett's isn't working as anticipated, and I'm going to either have to send her this one as a replacement if the one that she has is actually broken beyond repair, or I'm going to have to figure out how to use this thing so that I can give her support over the phone or internet. So I bought one. And so I took it out to the car and sat down I was carpooling with three other people. So I took it out and I sat down to kind of mess around with it. And Beth Lynn, the big organizer of Ohio Linux Fest, sat down beside me and mentioned that she had one and that she couldn't ever figure out how to get playlists onto it. And that concerned me a little bit, because not only was Scarlett giving me like weird reviews about it, but here's Beth Lynn, who's been using Linux forever and uses it in big, big ways. You know, I mean, she's, like, if you've ever met her, this person, Beth Lynn, knows Linux. You know, she's not a dumb user. She's like one of them experts. So I was really shocked to hear that she couldn't figure out how to put playlists onto the device, but I kind of dismissed it because I thought, well, maybe it's one of those issues where, you know, you sit down, you try it, it doesn't work right away, and you just kind of lose interest in it and you never really go back to it. So I kind of ignored her, and we went back home, and I sat down again to really, you know, I charged the Sansa Fuse and figured, okay, I'm going to put some music on there now. So it was a 2 gigabyte version, and I had an expansion card, a card in the expansion port, a micro SD card that brought it up to 6 gigs total, which, again, that's not quite the 20 to 30 gigs or whatever I've got on my fourth generation Rockbox iPod, but I figured it would probably do. So my initial review of Sansa Fuse was, you know, that it was nice, it was solid state, it was small. That's kind of cool. It felt strange, a little bit cheap, I mean, to the touch. I mean, I realize it's a couple hundred, probably less than an iPod. I don't really know what iPod Nanos, which I guess that would be the most direct equivalent of the Sansa Fuse, are going for, but they're probably like 150, but they also have like, I think, 8 gigs, and I think the 8 gig is probably a lot more expensive than 150, so yeah, the price difference is I'm sure, huge. Nevertheless, I couldn't help but notice like the scroll wheel and the buttons and things like that felt really cheap, you know, it felt like cheaply made, and it kind of made me nervous, because I thought, is this thing going to fall apart, like, next week. Well, next week came and went and nothing fell apart, so I guess it's going to last for a little while. But I will say that it doesn't feel as solid and as sturdy as, for instance, an iPod. And I'm going to compare it to the iPod because, well, number one, the iPod seems to be one of the best-selling media players out there, and also because I remember seeing Sansa advertisements back in L.A. on the street, and they were like the anti-iPod commercials. Like, they were these posters that said, you know, don't be a sheep, or don't follow the crowd. I think they actually said, don't be a sheep, and it was like a picture of a sheep with like white iPod earbuds in its ears. And so the point of the advertisements was, you know, don't follow along this crowd, you know, be different, get the Sansa Fuse, which I thought was a funny sort of ad because, of course, well, first of all, because Apple used to be seen as the resistance, at least among the crowd that I used to hang around in. You know, we thought we were going against Microsoft, and now here's a company saying go against Apple. So that was kind of funny. But also because, obviously, if Sansa had it their way, they would be where iPod was anyway, and everyone would be carrying around Sansa Fuses. So for one company to say don't follow the crowd and go with company A, come to company B, well, obviously they're just trying to supplant company A, so what's the point? But anyway, my point being that they took on the iPod very publicly. You know, I mean, the advertisements that I saw pitted them against iPods. So that's kind of what I expected when I got the device. I thought this was going to be a real alternative to an iPod. And I was a little bit surprised then to find that it was very, very cheaply made. The interface was really, really cheesy looking too. It had these big cartoonish icons that kind of zoomed in when you scrolled around. So you scroll to the music portion of the, you know, where you go to the music, and like this big set of headphones like kind of scrolls over. And then like when it's selected, it has this little animated sparkle to it, but it's only like a 4-frame animation, so it doesn't even look very smooth. So it was really funny, and I was like, you know, I was kind of surprised at that too, because again, if you're taking on a very sort of dignified and minimalist and attractive interface like the iPod is, then putting cheap little GIF animations in your main user interface might, you know, may or may not be the wisest choice. So you go into music, and the navigation, I should probably mention quickly, is really nice. Like, it's much more rockboxian than the Apple, than it is Apple, and I like that. You know, things like the arrows forward and back actually take you forward and back, rather than on the Apple firmware, which insists on having the back be the up button or the menu button, which doesn't make any sense to me. To step back a level, you go up to a menu button that's not even labeled back, you know. I mean, it's labeled menu, so how does that even suggest that you're going to go step backwards in a menu select, in a menu structure? So it's really nice that you've got the back and forward. You've got a little list button at the bottom. You've got a home button, a separate home button, which is really nice. So to get back to your main screen, you just hit the little button with a house on it, and you go back to the main screen. So it's a very nice method of navigating the interface. The interface itself, like I say, looks cheesy, and then when you get into the interface, oh, and it's got this bright blue, like, sort of weird-looking background to it that you can't... You can change the color of it, but you can't change the fact that it's just, like, this solid color all the time. Not that that's a big deal, but I just couldn't help but notice that there's no way to sort of customize this interface enough such that you can get it to something that looks, I don't know, less cartoonish, I guess. But anyway, so you get into the menu, especially the music, right? Because that's what this device primarily does. It plays music, ostensibly. So you go into the menu, and it's just one of my, it's one of the things that I just can't stand about interface design, is when they place the most common selection that you ever are going to use at the very, very bottom of the menu. The Apple TV default interface does this, and I've posted little not blogs about it before, complaining about it. And wouldn't you know, Sansa Fuse does the same exact thing. In order to get down to the folder structure of your music, of your own music that you've put on the thing, you have to go all the way down to the bottom of the menu. It drives me nuts. Every time I go into the menu, I have to scroll down to the bottom or scroll up such that I can get back to the bottom. You know, it's annoying. It's stupid. There's no way to change it. It's just, it drives me crazy. This kind of approach is another weird thing about the Sansa fuse, and it's not just weird. It's actually something that interferes with its functionality, and that is that it insists upon indexing your music collection. Now, I realize that most media players probably do this, or at least the iPod does, and there's really no way around it at all on the iPod. At least there is a way around it on the fuse, so, you know, mad props to the fuse or whatever. But if you put a series of albums on the fuse and you unplug it from your computer, the thing is going to index, or I think it says refreshing your media or something like that. But what it's doing clearly is indexing all the ID3 tags associated with your content, and then it parses all that ID3 data into its little database, non-human readable database, of course. It's like some kind of binary file on the root partition, and then you can go into the music and you can sort by album or artist or song title or whatever. Like I say, this is kind of like normal, but the problem is that I'd never use these kinds of features. I don't have time to sit there and associate ID3 metadata with all of my music the way that I would want it to be done, and I find it much easier and much more sensible to simply place the albums in a structure that I want them to be placed in folders. So that's my preferred way. Actually, that's the only way I ever go through my music. So the fact that it insists upon doing this is not only annoying, but it is actually one of the primary causes so far for crashes on both Scarlett's fuse and mine. Now, Scarlett uses hers both on Linux and Mac OS X, and I use mine exclusively on Linux, although I do use it across a couple of different systems, Ubuntu, Fedora, and Slackware. So every time I unplug it from my computer, from any computer that I'm loading music onto it from, it refreshes the media. It takes a long time to do that, and then quite often it either crashes or it turns out that it has lost track of some of my music. Like if I put let's say Clay Hawkins and Klaus Schulze on a media card in the fuse, and then I eject the fuse and I go into the, yeah, I let it index it, which I don't want it to do, but it does it anyway. And then first it might crash. It just gives me a white screen. And then possibly I'll go in, after I deal with that, then I'll go back into the fuse, go to the music, scroll all the way down to the folders, go to the folders, select which card I want to go into, go into that card, and it will only list Clay Hawkins. Now, I've just put like 3 gigs of Klaus Schulze music on there, but for some reason the fuse doesn't seem to recognize that. And it's just, there doesn't seem to be any reason for it. It doesn't seem to be the format of the music. It doesn't seem to be the way that I've named things. It just seems to not want to deal with that for some reason. And so then I spend like 4 hours like erasing it off the card, putting it back on the card, unplugging it, plugging it back in, ejecting the card, putting the card back in, letting it index, resetting the whole device, you know, just over and over again until finally it works. Or sometimes if I just let it sit, like if I let it turn off and then just sit for like half the day, then when I turn it back on, it's managed to find all the files. And yeah, I'll try to reset it as well. I'll force a reset. It just doesn't seem to make any logical sense. So I thought I'd narrowed it down to hidden files, like, because some of my music that I've had since my Mac OS X days, they'll have all that stupid OS X Finder generated hidden stuff. Like, if you've ever gotten a file from an OS X person and you look into the directory, there'll be a dozen ._foobar files, and then there's usually a ._icon file as well. And sometimes if it came in a zip directory, there'll be a _macOSX directory or something weird like that. So it's really bizarre and just extraneous data. I thought maybe that had been causing the problems with the fuse, but I tried erasing all that stuff on my computer before, which I've been trying to do anyway. I mean, I don't need those invisible files. Whenever I notice them, I get rid of them, but I found one with that stuff in there, erased it, put that onto the fuse, and it still crashed after I unplugged it. So it has nothing to do with that. I tried 2 different SD cards, both of which work fine in my Nokia N800. It didn't make a difference on the fuse. So there's, you know, something going on. It seems to be very much centered around the external SD card. Although, having said that, I've had some issues, not crashing issues with the internal one, but definitely not being able to find the files issues. So both of those seem to be a major problem. And it got to the point where I was I lived in fear of whenever I wanted to put new music on the device. And since this is a media player with only 6 gigs of storage, being afraid to put new music on it is a bad thing. Because, obviously, today we have, like, 80 gigabyte media players, and so you just expect to be able to have a lot of music on you at your immediate convenience. And so one thing that I'm going to do frequently is swap out the music on my Fuse, since I only have 6 gigs of it to have on me. So it was really bad that I hated to do that, and it got to be to the point where it would really interfere with my day, because I would want new music on it. I would put new music on it, which I don't think should be considered such a stupid thing. You know, I mean, like, it's kind of my right to put new music on the device, right? I mean, I should be able to do that. I shouldn't say, well, I shouldn't risk putting new music on my device because I know I need to get work done. I want to get some work done. I want to do it with some music, and so I'm going to put new music on my device. So I'd put the new music on my device, and then I'd unplug it, and I'd go to listen to it, and it wouldn't work. And then, of course, because I'm the way I am, I have to get that thing to work before I start doing other stuff. So I'll sit there and play around with it for 2 hours until it finally recognizes the music that I want to listen to while I do my other real work, and then I'll start to do my real work. But, I mean, there's 2 hours just down the drain for no good reason. So it got to be really, really bad, and I did everything. You know, I contacted Sansa support. They told me to do things that, generally speaking, I've already said that I've already done in the email to them. You know, it's like one of those things where I'll say, here is what I have done. I have updated my firmware to 0.2.33.33 or whatever it is. I think it's 0.2.0.2.33, actually. I've tried different SD cards. I have it set in the MSC mode. You know, all these different things that I've seen on the forums and stuff. And then they'll email me back a kind of a form email that says, please check our forums and also try these steps. And it goes through exactly what I said that I did. It was just embarrassingly insufficient support. So my point is, I decided finally that the Rockbox, that Rockbox was my only solution. Problem with Rockbox is that it's listed as an unstable port only for version 2, and wouldn't you know, I happened to have gotten a version 2 Fuse. However, this isn't such a bad thing, because actually the unstable port of Rockbox is worlds away better than the Sansa Fuse firmware, and actually it doesn't seem to be all that unstable. I haven't really experienced any problem with it yet, so I can't really complain about it at all yet. It's only been a couple of days, but I mean, I've used it a lot, so I have to say, if that's their unstable, we're in good shape. So here's how to put unstable or Rockbox really on your Fuse, and this is pretty simple. It's quite simple, really. So a couple of files you need to get first. Well, first, I guess you need to verify that you've got a version 2 Sansa Fuse, and the way to do that is to go into your little system info screen of the Sansa Fuse and look at what firmware you've got. And if it starts with a 0.2, then you've got a version 2. If it's 0.1, then you've got a version 1. If you have a version 1 Fuse, you can actually go to the Rockbox site, get their little auto installer, you know, their graphical installer program, which I reviewed a couple of episodes ago now, and just do it that way, do it the easy way. It's really simple, it works great, no worries. I did that with my iPod 4th generation to upgrade that, and it works quite well. So the Fuse itself, I mean, version 2, if you need to do that, you need to get the 0.2.26 firmware. So now, I had upgraded it already to 0.2.02.33, I think it is, and so I had to actually, you know, downgrade it, but that was not a problem, so don't worry if you've done that. You're going to need the bootloader from Rockbox themselves, which is on download. Well, go to rockbox.org and look into the unstable port for version 2. It's got links to all this stuff. You're going to need the Make AMS Boot, which is MKAMS Boot, again from Rockbox. And then you're going to need the Rockbox build itself, which is the Sansa Fuse version 2 version of Rockbox. You download all those files, and then you're ready to go. So the first thing you need to do is make sure that your Fuse is in MSC mode, which apparently I think stands for Mass Storage something. So it's a mode of USB sort of identification. So if it's in I forget what the other one is called, but that's for, like, if you're going to interface with their little Windows Fuse interface or whatever they've got. That will not, I guess, work. So you need to have it in MSC mode. If you've been putting music on it already, you probably already have it in MSC mode. And again, that's found in the little system menu of the Fuse. And I'd tell you exactly how to get there and stuff, except that I don't have the Fuse firmware anymore that I am aware of, so I can't really look to tell you. But it's pretty easy to do. So then you need to download and extract the Rockbox build, and you can just unzip that straight to your device. And the command for that is unzip space Rockbox dash Sansa Fuse v2.zip space dash d space slash media slash Fuse, or whatever, however your file system has mounted the Fuse. In that example, it would have been mounted to something called slash media slash Fuse. It would more than likely be slash media slash disk, actually, something like that. But the dash D is the part that unzips it to some other place. It says, okay, unzip the contents of this zip file and put it in the directory here, and that you would want just to be the root partition of your Fuse, which would be mounted ostensibly at slash media slash disk or slash media slash Fuse or whatever. So that's how you do that. And then they have you make a little temporary directory for yourself in your home directory, and they call it RB install, Rockbox install, RB install. So to do that, you just do a mkdir space tilde slash RB install. Simple enough. So then you want to go, into the RB install directory, and you want to download and extract the original firmware, the bootloader, and the MKAMS boot programs. And again, those are all found via they're easiest found via the Rockbox site about the Fuse version 2, the manual install. But, like, the original firmware is going to be from, like, forums.sandisk.com, and then poke around for the firmware. Now, the one that you need, and this is what I did not know originally, is the 02.26 firmware. So I had upgraded to 0.33, and that wouldn't work when I was trying to... Basically, what you're going to be doing is patch this firmware. And so when I was trying to run the patch, it wouldn't work. And that's when I realized that the version of this Rockbox is like 1.26 or something. And so that kind of tipped me off that I needed to find the firmware that from Sansa that Rockbox had used to make this port. So that happens to be the 02.02.26. And again, if you go to the Rockbox page, they'll have a direct link to it. I just didn't pay attention and thought, oh, well, I already have that file. I just won't bother. So do bother if you've ever upgraded your firmware. You might need something different than you actually have. The bootloader itself is, again, like download.rockbox.org/sansa-fuse-v2/bootloaders-fuse-v2.sansa or something like that. And then the MKAMS boot is download.rockbox, something like the Fuse, and then MKAMS boot. So you download all that stuff into the RB install folder, and then, you know, make sure that you're in the RB install folder. And then what you're going to do is run the MKAMS boot, which is basically a patch, and you're going to give two different arguments for that. One is the actual firmware, in this case fuse-a.bin, and then the other is the bootloader file from Rockbox, and then you're going to give an output file, which you can call pretty much anything you want. In their example, they call it patched.bin. That seems to make sense. So so the workflow specifically exactly would be you're going to do a chmod plus x on the make AMS boot file. So chmod plus x mkams boot, and that makes it executable. And then you do a dot slash mkams boot space fuse-a.bin space bootloader-fuse.bin space patched.bin. So there again, you've run the mkams boot, and you've given the firmware and the bootloader as arguments, and then you have put the output file as something called patched .bin. And it doesn't take but a moment. It's just a quick patch, so it gives you some kind of success message. And then what you need to do is simply copy that output file to your Rockbox Fuse, but you need to do it such that you rename it to something that Rockbox will, or that the Fuse will recognize as firmware that it needs to grab a hold of and update itself with. And the way to do that is to simply rename it. So you say cp space patched.bin space slash media slash fuse slash fuse-a.bin. So you're just copying the patched.bin file to the actual fuse, and instead of copying it as patched.bin, you're renaming it in the process to fuse-a.bin. Now, fuse-a.bin is the name of the firmware file that SANSA distributes anyway. And then the way that you typically would upgrade your SANSA fuse is to simply drop fuse-a.bin into your little fuse, the root directory, and then you unplug it from the computer. And then it sees that there is a fuse-a.bin at its root directory, and it gives you a little message about how it's updating its firmware, and please wait. And so that's what you do here, except that instead of it, you know, it's innocently thinking it's updating its firmware, and what it's really doing is replacing its brain with Rockbox. So you unmount the fuse like normal, you know, however you unmount it. You mount space slash media slash fuse, or if it's something that your graphical system just kind of latched onto, then you might right-click on it and tell it to unmount, whatever. So you do that, make sure that it's unmounted safely, and then you just simply unplug the fuse from the computer. And like I say, it's going to recognize that it has fuse-a.bin on it. It's going to see it as a valid firmware file, and it's going to run the update process. Now, if you reboot the thing, it's going to reboot into Rockbox, and you are now truly, truly set up with a really good SANSA fuse. Now the thing's going to work for you. You can put music on it. It's not going to crash. It's not going to force you to index all of your music. It's going to play all kinds of formats that you never thought it would. And it's going to not play other formats that maybe it did in the past. So that's one disclaimer that they say on the site. It says it may disable DRM support. And as someone in IRC was joking around, you know, Rockbox gives that as a warning, but it's actually kind of a feature, not really a bug, you know, if you hate DRM. So, but I mean, the result is that if you had DRM'd WMA files or something like that, whereas I guess the fuse out of the box will play them, Rockbox doesn't have that decryption ability because Windows isn't sharing that information with Rockbox, so that won't work. I did not have DRM'd music, I don't think ever, but certainly not anymore. I really can't think of any DRM'd music that I've ever owned, so that's that. But yes, so that's not a problem for me. It might be a problem for you. Consider it. But yeah, I mean, Rockbox is great. It's the old familiar navigation, which I love. It's a beautiful interface. It's shocking. Well, actually, it was kind of shocking to me to see it in color, because I'd never seen Rockbox in color, because my fourth generation Rockbox iPod is just black and white. So it was pretty neat to see a colorful, or you know, an interface with some highlights of color in there, and it was just great. I mean, it's perfect. I don't really have anything bad to say about it at all. It lets me organize my music the way I want to. It lets me navigate in a sensible manner. It lets me do everything I want to, and more. So really, I have no complaints about it. So if I experience bugs or whatever, I will let you know about them. But the initial report, and certainly for the primary use of music, I have no complaints. If I have some kind of random complaint about video or pictures or recording and stuff like that, then I'll let you know. But at least for music loading and playing and stuff like that, I have absolutely no complaints. And again, frankly, music is what I really want this device for anyways. And that's how to get Rockbox on it and make it even better. And with that, I think it's time for a coffee break. So let's go get some coffee, and we'll come right back for more more podcast stuff. I want to talk about, really briefly mention something that whole SANSA fuse thing made me think about, and the thing was that it's kind of like a "see, I told you so" kind of deal for the free software movement, because the SANSA fuse, while being really neat because it supports OGG and whatever else it supports, FLAC I think is the other big one that it supports, that's really cool and stuff. But if you think about the device itself, it's got it's the software on it is by no means open source or free software, right? It's being developed by, I don't know, three or four people over at Sansa, I guess. And it's kind of funny to see, well, number one, just how bad it is, and number two, how the free software model really, really trumps the closed source in this case especially. I mean, really, really blatantly. Because if you look at the Sansa Fuse, or Sansa in general, they've got this device, and it's going to sell what it's going to sell, and it's there for the people who don't want the iPod, right? So they put this thing out, and they get it to a working state. It doesn't have to be perfect, it doesn't have to be friendly, it doesn't have to be beautiful. They just get this firmware out so that the device will play. And then, really, their motivation to improve it at all is kind of, that's it, that's... it's over for them. That's the investment that they've made in that device, and the end. Now, not completely the end. I mean, they did do some firmware updates, and I guess they're going to continue to do firmware updates to kind of add a couple of new features and stuff like that, keep good public relations with their customers, which is admirable. But at the same time, you know, you look through the Sansa forums, and you get all these questions about, hey, why can't I do this with my device, or why isn't there a way to just do this? Can we change that, you know? And it almost has, like, an open-source feel, because it's got people pestering the developers to change things, but it's not very open-source, and you still have to wait on these developers, and you can really, really tell that Sansa's priority is not on improving the user interface of the Fuse. I mean, really, they don't need to do that. They've already sold the units that they've sold. The things are going to continue to sell as they will, and there's really no motivation to improve the software on those devices. The motivation for Sansa, the company, is to now come out with the next gadget with more features and sell that, because then people, both without a Sansa Fuse and those with the Sansa Fuse, will want to buy the new Sansa Fuse. So, closed software obviously sucks, right? I mean, it's just blatantly obvious in this case. There's very, very little room for improvement on these devices, because there's just no motivation for the company to improve them. Whereas if it's an open source and a free software solution, and not even free, I mean, if it's just open source, you know, I mean, even just issues of, like, freedom and what you do with your improved code and all that other stuff aside, just saying, okay, here, everyone who knows how to program, have a go at this, that opens up a whole world of improvement, of possibilities for improvement. And that's what we see in Rockbox. We see all these features coming into Rockbox, it's just out of control. There's so many features. You can imagine anything that you want your Fuse to do, and Rockbox either provides it or probably someone else is, you know, thinking about providing it, and so they're going to come out with it, you know. So it's really, really cool to see the difference between the completely active and bug fixing and new feature model of the open source firmware Rockbox and free software Rockbox, and then versus the closed system that is Sansa, where there's not motivation to do a whole lot, and the updates are far and few between. It's very slow going development, and they're not ever necessarily going to agree with what you want your device to do anyway. So even, you know, you can sit there on the forums all day writing messages about how it really needs to change, and it just might not change, that they might never change that for you, because that's just not in their business model, or it's just not something that's high enough on their priorities to give to you. Whereas if it is open source, there's a huge possibility that if you or if a group of you want something bad enough, someone just might make that happen for you, because they might want it too. So it's just it's almost a textbook example, I think, of why open source is a really, really great thing. And it kind of amazes me a little bit to think that Sansa Fuse wouldn't just make it official, you know. Just, I mean, if I were Sansa personally, I would simply say, okay, look, Rockbox, here's half of what I'd be paying my own developers anyway, contributed to your project, or give them free hosting or something, you know, and make it the official firmware of your product. Or if you have licensing issues and encryption issues and stuff like that, you take their code and use it as the basis for your own firmware. You know, keep the stuff that you have to keep secret a secret for whatever licensing agreements and stuff like that. And I realize that there are things like that, like the Windows the DRM playability and stuff like that. Obviously, they're not going to be able to just give that code away to the Rockbox team. That's not going to happen because Microsoft wouldn't allow it. But at least taking what you can and making that, using the open source stuff, I mean, it would just, I think it would make so many people so much more happy. It's just, it's crazy. So, yeah, really, if you're looking for a textbook example, there it is.
The Kent County office telephone number is area code 616-336-3265.